Welcome to Classical 95.9 WCRI's Conducting Conversations with your host, Mike Maino. 1 hour of music and conversation with notable people in the arts, bringing you the stories of how music has impacted their lives. The show will give a behind-the-scenes look at the guest's background, interests, or special project.
Conducting Conversations is brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, from sheet music and brand name instruments to rentals, repairs, lessons, and more. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.
And now here's your host, Mike Maino.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Conducting Conversations. It's that time of year again, or actually, a few months have gone by, a few weeks have gone by since Amy Turner has been here. Welcome back, Amy.
Thanks, Mike. It's always a pleasure.
Amy is the producing artistic director of the Ocean State Theater Company, more or less.
That is absolutely correct.
Oh, I got it right this time. That's great. Ocean State Theater in beautiful downtown Warwick, Rhode Island, on Jefferson Boulevard. For those of you that haven't been there yet, you got to get there. It's a great, great place to see a show. And with us today is Robert Iardi. Welcome, Robert.
Thank you, Mike. Good to be here.
Nice to have you with us. Robert is the lead character playing the title role of the new show opening this week at the theater called Lombardi. So I guess you're Lombardi, right?
Mr. Vince Lombardi. Yes, indeed.
Well, I've always wanted to meet you, so it's good. There you go.
This might be your only chance.
probably would be. Robert, let's find out a little bit about yourself. You have worked with Amy Turner and people at the Ocean State Theater before.
I have. Last summer, I was in God of Carnage.
Okay, and then before that, you were in high school, or what did you do?
I've been busy. I live in New York City. Professional actor for more years than I can count. It's been nice. I grew up in Plainville, Connecticut, small town, right in the center of Connecticut, and I am a football fan.
However, we should tell you that I found out off air, for those of you that live around here, he's not a Patriots fan. So you can turn the radio now if you want to, but he's one of those guys that likes the green-suited people from New Jersey.
J-E-T-S, Jets, right, Jets, right. Jets.
Yeah, we'll see how that's going for you. All right. But we are going to be talking about football in one fashion today. The play Lombardi is kind of an unusual choice, Amy, and you sit down with Joel or whomever you decide to plan out your year. I wouldn't have thought, you know, when you have shows like The King and I or Hello, Dolly or Sound of Music, that Lombardi would have been in that mix.
Huh. Okay. Well, it really is right exactly what we want to do. And I think that I will take that as a compliment.
Absolutely.
Because one of the things that we're really excited about with moving to Warwick, with having this year-round space to produce theater in, is kind of doing a 180-degree turn on the shows and really taking sort of the history that we have, I hope, the reputation of doing musicals really well, and adding in, you know, plays in between that. So I think probably part of why it's such a great choice for us to do is because it does seem like an unusual choice. For me, it was an easy choice to make. I was a fan of the play. I think it's has a lot of depth to it. I think doing it during football season is kind of brilliant.
If I say so myself.
If you love football, yes. If you love football, this is really a strong backdrop to what it takes to win, which is what all of us fans are hoping our team will do. But I think that if you don't want to go to watch football on Sunday, come to the theater and see a play, because it's also a really interesting family drama that really goes beyond football. And I'm particularly partial to it also because this is a regional premiere. We are the first professional theater in all of New England to produce this play, so I kind of really love that aspect of it as well.
Great. How old, roughly, how long ago was it written? Approximately.
Yeah, it was on Broadway. It was in New York City, I should say, for I think it got extended three times, but it was only around for a couple of years. That was about a year ago. So I'm going to say like 4 years old.
Oh, so
from
it's inception. In the world of theater, it's really new.
It is. In the world of theater, it's brand new. Okay. Yeah.
So that's great. So we're bringing that to Warwick, to the Ocean State Theater. We'll find out a little bit more about that and a little bit more about Robert and the story. But we're going to get to a piece of music. And today's music, since this is not a musical, is kind of interesting in that you've done a little history and a little research, you and the people at the theater, to come up with something to entertain us in between conversations.
Yeah, the first two, the first pieces here are really drawn straight from NFL films. And not only is it interesting historically, but it is relevant to this piece that Lombardi coached the Green Bay Packers and really was so... he was a recipient of, but also an instigator, I think, of taking sports from the page, so to speak, into a really big mass market, into a visual medium. You know, whereas people used to write about it, it was really what he did and what he was able to take advantage of. And so this is a piece of music from NFL films, which probably arguably wouldn't necessarily exist without teams like the 1965 Packers.
All right, here we go. Have the music that got us in the mood from NFL films, and that certainly is very iconic in the way it makes you feel, and you can envision it. While it was playing, we were four of us actually. We have a visitor in the studio. Jenna's here, Robert's wife, and we're talking
on
about
stage. On stage, she plays Mrs. Lombardi. We don't want to insult Robert's real wife.
Right. Eyes popping all over New England.
I missed that whole thing. I mean, you know, when I caught you in the room, I noticed, you know, in the green room, there you were. But, oh, that was just a rehearsal. So I didn't realize. See, I missed the whole thing when you said this was his wife. I just took it literally that, you know. All
please,
right.
His wife. Please, his wife.
Please, his wife. Kind of like. You and I. Anyway.
Hello.
Yes.
Hello.
Well, but now that we got that straightened out, you know, we'll have to put Jen on microphone now. So you're going to be Mrs. Lombardi. Okay. All right. That was
a
nod.
She nodded her head.
She nodded because she doesn't have a microphone. Well, now that I know that, that puts it in a different light. So now I am going to ask you to say something. Just tell us who you are and the fact that you're not his real wife.
My name is Jennifer Byrne, and I come from originally upstate New York, and I live in New York City right now. I was previously seen in The 39 Steps as yet, the only female in that cast as well. Yeah, I'm having a great time with this show. It's a challenge.
Great. So you are also in the cast, and I just misunderstood. I was going to leave her out completely because I thought, you know, what the heck. But now we know that. So we have Mr. Lombardi, Mrs. Lombardi, and they're not in real life doing anything together. We've cleared that up. All right. So that's all straight.
They're really method actors.
That's right.
A lot
of work there.
All right. So Robert, we won't ask about your other wife because, you know, it could get too confusing. But let's talk about the man Lombardi. And obviously there must have been some research on your part.
Absolutely. The first book I went to was the book they based the play on. Eric Simonson based the play on When Pride Still Mattered by David Moranis. An amazing book, an amazing read. I found that Lombardi was born just about the same time as my father, also Italian-American. And I began to see the similarities sort of between the two. Growing up poor, really having to struggle to get out of that poverty and all about hard work. These were people who really knew what hard work was. And then Lombardi, of course, rising through the ranks, being pushed by a sort of domineering mother who had to have everything exactly right. Very religious, Lombardi was. Went to Mass every single day, every morning. And just worked his way to the top, teaching, school, coaching. He was one of the famous seven blocks of granite at Fordham University in their championship years. And really his nose to the grindstone the whole time, working, and never satisfied, never satisfied with everything, with anything, I should say. It could always be better. It could always be perfect. That I think one of the themes of the play, he wants perfection, knowing full well it's impossible, but that's what he wants. That's his goal.
I do think that most people, you know, I don't think you said anything too surprising to anyone that's over the age of 50, let's say, that might remember seeing him. You would presume some of that, but it's great to get that information. Amy, how does this work into the way you... Are you directing this?
I am.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So we've got that clear. You're not married to Robert.
No.
Okay.
Nor Jen.
But you're directing this, as you have done many other productions at Ocean State. Is there a difference when you're dealing with, for example, off air, we talked about one of your very successful plays that you had last season called Race. Now, Race is fictional, as far as we know. It is no real character. Is there a difference in how you approach it when it's a real person that you're trying to recreate?
Yes, I think that there is a difference. I think that's actually a great example of the difference. I think that the tone of the play, the way that it's written, the language that's used, the style of the author, there's a lot of things that go into the differences of how you approach something. But I would say for me, the similarity is it really always is about what is that story? What is the author trying to say? And what... in what ways is he trying to say that? Now, it's interesting with a play like Race. I really believe that you are meant to leave that theater
confused,
perhaps more confused than you were when you walked in, or certainly with the opportunity to debate how you feel about that, what you think is the truth. And, you know, that play for me was really about how do we perceive truth? And so it's a very different theme, I would say, than this, but it's still about bringing what's on the page to life. Now, we have the luxury of having most of these characters being real, but that can also be a trap, because sometimes you know too much information and it's not relevant to what's on the script. This is a 61-page script, so it's what we keep talking about in rehearsal. It's very tight. It's very narrow. It's a real thin slice of what we want to see. And yet I think the audience will see it exposes a lot of information, a lot of feelings, a lot of self-reflection. Kind of, you know, one of the brilliance of the piece.
All right. Well, we're going to get to another piece of music from NFL Films, and this one is called March to the Trenches, so we'll give that a listen right now. Iconic music for anyone who's a football fan certainly recognizes that last theme that we played. Amy, let's just give a little information about website and ticket availability. Hopefully there are some tickets left for Lombardi, which opens this week. Wednesday and Thursday previews with the official opening Friday night. And if you'd like tickets, you can go to...
I say start at the website, oceanstatetheater.org, O-R-G, oceanstatetheater.org, or give us a call in the box office. Our box office opens at noon every day, and that is 401-921-6800.
Or you can walk right up to the theater. The box office, as she said, is open, so just walk right over to Jefferson Boulevard in Warwick. Say hello to the nice people there and pick your tickets out.
Yeah, 1245 Jefferson Boulevard. Down on the south end by what I've been told by Rhode Islanders is called the mall exit.
Well, okay. not too far from where the Wonder Bakery thrift store used to be.
Very close. See,
it has to be from what something that's is closed right. Now. And that's Rhode Island.
I gotcha. I'm on board.
It used to be. It used to be. And who knows? You might see Robert or his wife, Jen.
Fake wife.
walking around during rehearsals.
Or, I am in something. So much trouble now. That's great.
All right. We're going to listen to one more football piece of music from this is interesting because it comes from the game NFL 13, the Madden game, and it's called War Chant. We'll listen to that, then take a short break and be back with more of Mike and his confusing marriage stories.
We'll be right back.
We are back on Conducting Conversations. We're sitting with Ocean State Theater's Amy Turner and presenting the play A Lombardi, coming in this week on Wednesday and Thursday. Previews Friday night, opening night. And then Sunday, Amy, we'll have our traditional talkback session or Conducting Conversations Live, where I have a chance to meet all the actors in the show, and we get on stage, you and I, and the audience has a chance to ask questions. So that's a cool thing. That'll be happening Sunday, right?
Sunday, right after the matinee, yep.
All right. And Robert, you'll be there whether you know it or not.
I guess I know it now.
There you go. It's actually quite interesting when the audience has a chance to ask you questions, and they get to play my role at that point in time and say, why is this that way or that way? But as far as the show is concerned, we've been talking a lot and listening about football, but you don't have to be a football fan to be very intrigued with the show, correct?
No, not at all. I think that's one of the beautiful things about the show. It's really about, I mean, it's about football, certainly, but it's also about family, relationships, leadership. It reminds me of, like I say, Lombardi reminds me a little of my dad. Same little squat sort of guy, but it's about family.
And it certainly is family friendly, as far as there's no adult language that we got to worry about or
not,
things
not
like that.
Really.
Not
really. No.
Might be a few subtle things, but nothing.
There's
traumatic.
Really very little, and I think that it comes from, you know, telling a true story about this guy. I mean, he was a real straight shooter, and he liked things to be correct and correct behavior. And, you know, if you act like a professional, you should look like a professional 100% of the time. And that's where I think that it does become universal. You know, I completely agree. It is about family and family in the most general of terms, not just his relationship with his wife and his children, but with his players that he created, you know, a family environment that you know, I think when you think of a parental relationship, you think, well, that's somebody who wants the best from you. They want to push you to be the best you can be. And certainly that is what he did. And that's what this team did. You know, it is interesting how so many people quote Lombardi to this day. They use his quotes for all kinds of inspiration, I think, well beyond football.
Certainly, absolutely. I've heard them used in theater before, people getting ready to do shows.
And, have you ever heard of Lombardi time? Where if you're not early, you're late. You
right,
know, being early is on time, and on time is
there
late, and late
a,
is
yeah.
unacceptable.
And I think some of that, as you mentioned, as Robert mentioned, reminds him of his father. I think that's a little bit generational, too. I think he actually did look like my father, the same size, the same glasses, which was a generational thing. You know, he was very reaching his 60s, in the mid 60s,
right?
You know, so it was one of those things that where people had a different, I think at that time, the iconic figures were seemed to be more real, again, be careful here how I say real men, but men were men, boys were boys kind of thing. A little bit more than it is today.
No, I do. And as a woman, I think that I hear where you're trying to be considerate of that. But I think that when I hear a man was a man, it means that he worked hard. He committed himself fully to the task,
right,
and wanted it to be done the best it can. And so even for me, I have what I call this sense of nostalgia about that. And I think there's a lot of people out there that say, remember the time when hard work paid off.
Right.
And, you know, you picked yourself up, you brushed yourself off, you said, I'm sorry, or you tried again. And there was a way in which we could be better and continue to be better and not apologize for every mistake we made. And we would hold ourselves accountable for that and want to make it better. No one else had to. And so I think that there really is a lasting legacy. And I think he is a good symbol of that, of wanting to be the best you can be. And that's universal. And from my perspective, there's nothing wrong with wanting to be the very best at what you do.
Absolutely. All right. We'll get to another piece of music. As you all know, that was the Green Bay Packers that He was known for coaching, and this one is called Glory Day in Green Bay. Piece of music that's going to be coming up in a couple of minutes is called the Lombardi Trophy Theme, official theme of the Super Bowl. Now, so we'll look forward to that in a moment, but I want to get to the fact that there are a total of 6 cast members of this show. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And some of them are pretty famous. In particular, there is going to be the boy reporter. Joel Kipper will be involved in the show.
Joel Kipper, our managing producer, it will be returning to an Ocean State Theater Company production. He'll be returning to the stage after 3 years.
And you don't have any problem telling him what to do as director, do you?
No, that is my job. And part of the beauty of being able to act, actually, I think he would agree with me, is that you actually don't have to worry about anything else except what your job is in that moment. And, you know, I'm very much a terror in the rehearsal. You can ask these guys. I mean, I yell constantly and just demanding. And
it's like working for Lombardi.
Yeah, there you go.
Unfortunately, I would take that as a compliment.
And we have 3 or 4 other people that you can name.
Todd Berkich is coming back. He's going to play Paul Horning. He was known as the Golden Boy.
Sure.
Anyone who has a history of that, probably, arguably, perhaps the most successful ball player ever, in the sense that, you know, help me out here. He won the Heisman and
right.
He was an MVP.
Not successful money wise, because nobody made any money.
That's right.
Days,
but any award you can think of, I believe he's one of only maybe 2 or 3 that's in the Hall of Fame for both college and pro football. You know, so, you know, he's a pretty important figure both to the Green Bay Packers. And Todd will be returning to us from having done How to Succeed in Business a few years ago with us.
I remember that show.
Yeah.
They had the greatest narrator.
They did. There was a book, and a guy with a really cool voice happened to chat about it during the show.
Go ahead.
And then Tom Sharia is coming to us as a first time. He's playing Paul Taylor, who I think also, if you know anything about football, you kind of, Jim Taylor, thank you for correcting me. You can correct me out loud. Jim Taylor,
if you know anything about football, you know it's
you'd
Jim
know
Taylor.
The characters' names. Paul Hornung and Jim Taylor that were not only individually iconic, but also as a Lombardi actually put them as, what did he call them, the thunder and lightning his power sweep play. And probably very little research will tell you that a lot of people think he was the best running back to ever play the game. And then Bart Atzen is up to us for the first time as well, working for our organization, and he's playing Dave Robbie Robinson, who actually was just inducted into the Hall of Fame this year, the NFL Hall of Fame. So it is interesting that the playwright chose these three guys to represent their perspective on, you know, who he was, what he meant to them, because we learned very quickly that to sum them up as football players would be a real injustice to the individuality of who these guys are. And personally, I think that's part of what this play is about, that a great leader recognizes that you have to deal individually. You have to get each individual to be the best they can be in order for the team to be the best it can be. So it's important.
Right.
And then they happen to win a lot of games, including the first two Super Bowls that were ever played.
All right. Well, we'll talk more about those two important victories as they lead to other things. But we're going to go stop for a piece of music right now. And as promised, this is the official theme of the Super Bowl. Welcome back to Conducting Conversations. We're sitting with Ocean State Theater, and Amy Turner is here talking about Lombardi, and Robert, who is playing Lombardi. I have an interesting thought while we were off air. We had that brief discussion about what do you think about when you think about the name Lombardi, and to me, I said it's an image. There's an iconic figure standing on the sidelines in a beige trench coat with the old style glasses and the ultimate respect figure. And I guess what we want to know is, does that translate into the show? Is that the kind of feeling that comes back? Or do we find out this guy is actually an alcoholic and or something like that? Are we disappointed in what we think he is?
No, not at all. Respect, absolutely. He demands respect. And also demands that you respect yourself and work to your fullest potential. We also, I believe, we find out that he's human. As much as he maybe doesn't want to be, or people don't want him to be, he is absolutely human.
And there's opportunity for a little glimpse of that, Amy, into the character of this man?
There is. I think that the time speaks to what it is. I mean, you know, he drank a lot. He smoked a lot. He worked really hard. He worked a lot. You know, I think that there are those thoughts that we have about that. But I do have to say that I think a lot of people would agree with you. And one of the words that would come up would be respect, maybe discipline, maybe hard work. But it also, I think people think high ethics. And, you know, when you think about coaches, you know, he wasn't the guy picking up the chair and throwing it across the court or the field. He wasn't up in the umpires' faces, that there was still a way of commanding that respect that we talk about. But I don't think anybody would say, you know, he's an angry or a hostile or a man. And I think to Robert's point, it really is that you can, the best way to get someone to behave the way that you want them to is to be that behavior yourself. And I think that has a lot to do with the lesson of this play. And that's where it transcends football. Do the best that you can be and insist that the people that you surround yourself not only support your plan to be the best that you can be, but also are the best that they can be. And that's, you know, going all the way back to this thing about family, is it has to be a symbiotic relationship, that you have to want something for that other person hard enough that they then want it for you, which then validates what you do. And it really is, I hope for the audience, personally inspiring. And will give them a new thought to take with them in their life.
Excellent. And Lombardi being who he was and the time and the NFL being what it was at the time, certainly he was instrumental in bringing it to what it is today. It's a multi-billion dollar business, the highest ratings on TV, and all that might be traced back to his insistence on perfection.
I think you can definitely argue that point. And we had a conversation in rehearsal, you know, does the man make the myth or does the myth make the man? Was he a guy that was just in the right place at the right time, or was the right place because he was in that right time? And it's hard to look back and argue that television was becoming something it had never been before. He provided a great opportunity for that image, for films, for television sports casting. But had he not been there, would it have been the same? And, you know, I do think that neither would have succeeded to the extent that they did without the other.
I think one of the things that football has done and the NFL has done is created such a great marketing thing and playing off of people like this in a good sense, that this next piece of music, I think if you were to walk up to someone and say, fill in the blank, as far as television is concerned, and you would say, Monday night, and of course everyone would say, football. We'll be right back. Jamie, in wrapping up today, we want to just mention once again that tickets are available. The show starts Wednesday with previews, and Thursday, and then Friday, opening night, and tickets are available. It's going to be running through
November 24th.
The 24th of November. So lots of shows, but don't delay. Get your tickets by going to the website, which is oceanstatetheater.org, or they can call the phone number
401-921-6800.
And right after Lombardi, as the season progresses, we'll be into holiday time.
We will.
And it'll be Miracle on 34th Street.
Yeah, a Meredith Willson musical. Folks who are familiar with The Music Man, it's actually it's been around a while. Not many theaters do it, but it is based on the movie, and it's a great ratatata musical full of dance numbers, and we're really thrilled.
A feel-good musical.
It is.
Versus, as you and I have had many discussions, versus something like Les Mis or Miss Saigon, but this is one of those, bring the family, have a good time, and whistle a happy tune.
Absolutely.
All right. Meredith Willson is great for that, as he was in Music Man. And I want to thank Robert for being here, and wish you all the best in Lombardi. I think
thank
it's going to be great.
I'm
looking forward to it, and looking forward to having the opportunity to see it and then talk about it on Sunday during the talk back. And Jen, even though you're not married to Robert, thank you for being here. I know you didn't get to say very much today, but thanks for coming in.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right, Amy, we've talked about Miracle. We've talked about, you know, there'll be other shows down the line.
Absolutely. Yeah, we have the rest of our season coming up in January, a Neil Simon comedy, Laughter on the 23rd Floor, an amazing, fun, full of music from the 30s and 40s musical, The All-Night Strut, the gorgeous Diary of Anne Frank, a play many people are familiar with that novel, a gorgeous play. And then we close out our season with the best tap dancing musical of all time, I say with great pride, 42nd Street. So there's a lot going on, and Les Mis was amazing for us, and we think Lombardi is just really going to bring in the same excitement. It's a premiere. You've never seen it before, folks. So
absolutely. So
come and enjoy.
Make sure you catch it. And don't forget, December 7th, a special event we'll talk about next time.
We have a very special. We'll tease that,
we'll tease
as they
that.
Say.
We'll tell you about the December 7th special show.
But the information is on our website. So if someone wants to be proactive.
See, they can get a hint. But we're going to go out with one more piece of music, or a piece of one more, because we don't have much time to listen to it. But it's from the original motion picture soundtrack, Rudy. And then we'll see you all next week on Conducting Conversations. Conducting Conversations was brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, using music and the arts to keep your child educated, entertained, and having fun. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.